Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's June 10th, 2019 regular Othello City Council meeting. Would you all please rise for a short private invocation asking for God's blessing upon this city and upon the City Council as we make our decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 1.4 on our agenda is a roll call, and I see that, for the record, all council members are present. And item 1.5 is our citizen input. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the City Council? Please raise your hand and I will give you up to 5 minutes to address the council with regard to any issue you like. Is there anyone? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to item 2, which is the approval of tonight's agenda.
Make that motion.
Okay. Need a motion for that?
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye. Moving the item 3.4 agreement between City of Othello and Adams County Pet Rescue to our current business. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So now I'll entertain the motion to approve our agenda.
Make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And I need a motion to approve our consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we're going to move to item 4.1, which is current business. And tonight we have with us our city police chief to recognize Avery Fields. And so I'd like to call the chief forward to present this award.
Thank you, sir. Mayor, Council. Could I ask AC Lynn and Sergeant Garza to come up, please? Explorer Captain Fields, come on up here, please. Let's stand right here with them facing. Explorer Captain Fields has been an explorer since our post began 4 years ago, and he was a freshman. He has attended the Explorer Academy in Yakima and the Border Patrol Explorer Academy in Oroville twice. And that one's hard, so that shows you he's kind of a glutton for push-ups. As a sophomore, he was promoted to Explorer Sergeant and has learned a lot about leadership. While in the program, he has served on flag details and has contributed countless hours of service to our community. I've heard several of our Explorer advisors say that Fields is someone that they routinely count on. He is currently the Explorer Captain in charge of the Othello Police Explorer Post. He will be attending CBC this fall to get his AA as he has now graduated high school. We would like to recognize Explorer Fields and wish him well. He will be missed. And we have a plaque to give him today.
I really want to congratulate you and thank you for your service.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We're not kicking you out, by the way.
What a relief.
When he came on as explorer, I think he was this tall. He is not now. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Good.
Thank you, Chief. And tonight we have the privilege of having Washington State Department of Transportation, who just completed a study. They're with us tonight in this meeting and they want to do a city council briefing, and we have Carissa and Christina, and I believe it's George. George's here.
I'm going to stay here.
You're going to stay there. Okay. All right. So we're just really honored to have you here. We were in that meeting this afternoon, and so you're going to give the council a briefing on the results of the Highway 26 or State Route 26 traffic study.
Correct. Thank you, Mayor, council members. Again, I'm Christina Woolman, and this is Carissa Witthoon. And we today presented our recommendations for strategies along the SR 26 corridor. We were here last time. Actually, last time we were here, we followed another police award ceremony. So it's just either that happens a lot here, or we just come on lucky days. The study area focuses on Highway 26 from Thacker Road to 14th Avenue. It includes the intersections of Thacker, Taylor, Moon Road, First Avenue, 14th Avenue. And also during the study process, we added in a potential intersection at 7th Avenue to determine whether we would recommend that an intersection be constructed at that location. The purpose of the study is to identify strategies to improve traffic safety and traffic operations along the study corridor. We had a stakeholder team, which today met for the third time. The stakeholder team provided us valuable input on needs at the study intersections, as well as just some basic information that you can only know if you're a local and understand how those intersections work on a daily basis. We received a lot of input from the stakeholders, as well as held a practical solutions workshop, which is what we did the last time we were here, where we presented some potential strategies to the stakeholders, and they provided us input and ideas, which we were able to take back and develop into additional strategies, which we presented at a public meeting that was held here in this room in April. We asked for the public's input. They were able to write comments or view all of the displays and then write comments on sticky notes, which they put up on the displays, and just provided us a lot of verbal information about their preferred strategies. At the same time, we held an online open house that presented the same information that we presented at the public meeting, and we also asked similar questions to receive the same feedback from the public. We had over 100 visitors to the online open house, which was many more than came to the actual public meeting. Some of the top comments, or most common comments, that we received from the public and from the stakeholders is that vehicle safety is a top concern within the entire study corridor. That is a top concern at every study intersection. Also, freight access is very important along the highway. And in general, the public prefers roundabouts over signals at the study intersections along the highway. It was also stated to us that convenient access from the highway is very important for additional development along the highway corridor on all the vacant land that is adjacent to the highway. We asked the public and the stakeholders to identify what their priority criteria is for each of the study intersections. We asked this at the stakeholder practical solution workshop, at the public meeting, at the online open house. And when we combined all of the answers, safety was by far the top criterion within the study area. The second priority was future mobility. So that's reducing congestion in the future and just making it easier to get around. Freight mobility came in third. We use this information to help us determine which strategies to recommend. This table is an example from our 14th Avenue evaluation. This is called the alternatives comparison table, and it allows us to look at all four strategies together to compare them to help us determine which alternative to recommend. So this has the four strategies down the side that we recommended for 14th Avenue. And then across the top are our baseline needs and contextual needs. The baseline needs would be considered primary needs at that intersection. These are needs that we identified through our analysis, such as congestion. We were able to run models that would tell us what congestion would look like in 2025 and 2040. We also had a lot of input from the stakeholders, which helped us identify that at this intersection, pedestrian and bicycle connectivity is very important. We know there's schools to the north of the intersection and potentially to the south of the intersection, maybe some sort of development that may be a pedestrian generator. So we wanted to make sure that something, that whatever we recommended at this intersection would allow for safe crossing of the highway by pedestrians. And then of course, safety. Safety is a primary need at each of the study intersections. The contextual needs are just the remaining criteria that were identified by the stakeholders and the public, but not criteria that we just determined to be primary. They're more of just a secondary. So we use the scoring method for this. The double plus sign means that that strategy is optimal to meet that need. So for example, strategy one is a roundabout, and a roundabout is the optimal solution for safety, for congestion, and for pedestrian and bicycle mobility. Strategy two is a traffic signal, and it, although it's not optimal, it still is, it still provides benefit, so it got one plus. The zero is a neutral, no change or doesn't affect it. And there are also some occasions where we had a minus, and that would be that strategy actually makes things worse. So to help us score and determine if the strategy is cost effective, we added up all those plus signs in the baseline needs to help us determine a score. And then we identified what the costs would be for some of the strategies. We didn't do cost estimates for all of the strategies, primarily just the strategies that require engineering, design, more complicated strategies. Strategies that we knew would be low cost, like strategy four, for example, here is a speed limit reduction. We just know that's just a low cost strategy, so we just gave that a low cost. So $1 sign is low cost up to $250,000. $2 signs is moderate, $250,000 to $750,000. And then high cost, $3 signs over $750,000. So this allowed us to take a look at the benefit, compare it to the cost. So a low benefit project with a high cost is not cost effective, but a high benefit project with a low cost would be extremely cost effective. And then, of course, a range in between. So using this process, we went through each intersection and identified strategies that were cost effective and that are best to meet the needs of the intersections. And I am going to have Carissa explain to you which strategies we selected to recommend.
Okay, so at each intersection, we looked at anywhere from 2 to 4 strategies, and I'll just go over the ones that we're recommending to be implemented. The first intersection is SR26 at Thacker Road. Here, the recommended strategy is to extend the existing turn pockets. That adds some space for vehicles to decelerate before they turn, and it also adds additional storage for vehicles that are waiting for a conflicting movement to clear before they turn, so it reduces some of the opportunity for rear-end collisions. This strategy has a little bit higher cost because it's a fair amount of added pavement, but it had the most safety benefit of the 4 strategies that we looked at for this intersection. The next intersection is Taylor Road. The recommended strategy here is to add turn pockets. Again, this reduces the opportunity for rear-end collisions, and we found that this strategy had a moderate cost and a moderate benefit. At Moon Road, we looked at 2 strategies. The first strategy shown here has multiple parts. It includes adding a left turn and a right turn lane, adding lighting to the intersection, and widening the right turn pocket from Moon to eastbound SR26. Each of these components adds safety elements to the intersection, but altogether it's a higher cost strategy. So this is one that could be implemented in phases to achieve those safety improvements as funds become available. The other strategy we looked at here was reopening the railroad crossing on Moon Road. It's not shown on the image, but I'm sure you guys are familiar with it. That strategy has a higher cost and also has some obstacles that would need to be overcome to get that opening achieved. So as development happens in this area, we'd recommend considering that in the future, but not looking to it as a near-term solution to improve this intersection. At First Avenue, the strategy we're recommending is a single lane roundabout. This strategy has the best overall safety performance and operational performance. However, it's also the highest cost of the different options we looked at here. So if funding is not available for a roundabout, an alternative approach could be to install a traffic signal here. It doesn't have as good of performance or operationally or as good of safety, but for safety, it's still an improvement over the existing condition. And operationally, it would still exceed the standard level of service out in the horizon year. We had similar results at 14th, with the roundabout being the optimal solution and the signal being a runner-up. However, here, because of the multimodal aspect that Christina mentions when she was talking, the safety advantages of a roundabout are even greater than they would be at First, where you would expect less multimodal traffic. And we looked at three strategies for the potential intersection of 26th and 7th, but we are not recommending that 7th be connected to 26th. One reason is with the proposed improvements at 1st and 14th, there's no operational demand for another intersection. And the second reason being SR26 is a limited access highway, so only one access per mile is permitted, and adding one here would exceed that amount.
We also looked at non-motorized access throughout the study corridor. We looked at 1st and 14th to find ways to allow safer pedestrian crossings, and those have been addressed within the strategies that we recommended. The other area that stakeholders asked us to look at is along the highway from the canal to First Avenue. Because there are limited options for getting into town when you're coming from the west to the east, and because of the canal, pedestrians are funneled towards the highway to cross the canal at the highway bridge. There were very limited options for a potential trail along this route. So we identified a trail that includes a pedestrian bridge over the canal and a pedestrian bridge over the railroad, as well as a trail that is partially along the road shoulder and then partially below the road that maybe would go along adjacent to your stormwater pond. This is a very expensive solution and complicated, although it was really the only strategy that we could find that was the most direct route. Another option that has been mentioned is going along Moon Road, and if there's a railroad crossing installed in the future, then that could also be used as a pedestrian crossing. So that might be another option, although it kind of takes people out of the way a little bit, but it would be safer than walking along the highway shoulder. And our online open house is still live. It doesn't have the survey questions on it anymore, but it has all of the information about the strategies that we recommended. So if you're interested in going back to look at those, you can get to the online open house from our project website. We'll also be posting the final project report on this DOT project website near the end of the month. And this report can be used to help you plan for the future. So a lot of our strategies are dependent on future growth occurring, especially around 14th Avenue. There's potential for a lot of growth to occur there. And this can help you plan for what you want that intersection to look like in the future when that growth does occur. Also, the comments that we received about needing more access to the highway for development along the highway. What we want to do is make sure that the intersections are as safe and convenient as possible so that traffic can get off the highway at your existing intersections and then get into those developed areas without needing to put in accesses along the highway. Creating additional access points, for one thing, it's limited access, so it's not allowed, but the other reason, every driveway creates another conflict point and potential for more crashes. So also the next step is implementation. And this is where the Department of Transportation will continue to remain involved in this. Today at our stakeholder meeting, we talked about implementation and we selected some projects to go through and identify funding sources and from planning partners. And so we do have a start, some sort of action plan that will provide the city the information and as well as the county. And you can begin working with the state and with George to begin moving towards implementation of some of these strategies. And do you have any questions for us?
Council?
I've got just a comment. We had been working over in Ephrata and they put in a roundabout at 17 in Dodson. And man, that works so much better. Before it was so hard to get across from Dodson into Ephrata. And now you can just basically pull up there and just go right around and get in. It's safer, saves a lot more time. And before it was kind of at an angle, so it was hard to see one way. So a lot safer. That works really good.
Yeah, we would expect to see similar benefits by putting in roundabouts at 14th and at First Avenue here.
Okay. Thank you, Christina and Carissa. Let's move to item 4.3. For the record, I'll also state that this agenda item that was moved will be at the end after the 4th of July facility use resolution. Spencer and I had been talking, and I'll let him explain this, but we were talking about the city's debt, and we thought it would be a good idea to update the council where we were.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Tonight's conversation is just informational. I have no concerns about our debt. The debt position of the city is quite good, actually. Tonight is just meant to be informational and a brief snapshot of where we've come from and where we're going. I put together a little chart up here that walks us through a couple of older expired debts that just recently expired in years 2014, 15, and 16. You'll probably recognize the State Route 24, City Hall, and then the Well 7. Those expired, so we're taking those off. The items that are grayed out, those don't apply to us anymore, or they're old. So those top ones up there are done. So future payments, none. And we don't have any payments this year, obviously. This next item here, the first one that applies to us is the Broadway Avenue reconstruction. This is a smaller loan, $500,000 loan, and it's a small payment that we make every year, about $30,000 out of our street fund. And that item expires in 2026, 7 years. So that's that one. Very low interest rate, 0.5%. It's phenomenal. This next one here, I put these three loans here in a big box. This is related to our Main Street. If you remember, a few years ago, we refinanced this bond. And so the top one I have grayed out, this is the old one that we used to have, $3.2 million at just over 4% interest rate. This is the item that we refinanced. Oh,
and it expired, the final payment was due in 2035. We refinanced it, and when we refinance it, it turns into, on our side, we see it as two different bonds here. And the reason for that is kind of funny. When we look at a bond, we just see one bond, but this bond, just over $3 million, is actually maybe 30 different smaller bonds. Some of those bonds are eligible to be refinanced and some aren't eligible to be refinanced. So when we did the refinance, we refinanced those that could be refinanced and not the ones that couldn't be. So those look, those turn into two different bonds here. This first one, this one point, almost 1.2, these are the items that we couldn't refinance up here. And this 2.1 million down here, these are the bonds that we could refinance. Ultimately, what we did when we got rid of this, when we refinanced this bond, we cut 4 years off of the life of this debt payment. So it used to expire in 2035, now we'll be done in 2031. And we cut between, with the interest that we're saying, we have much lower interest rates over the life of this bond versus the life of the previous bond that we used to have, we're saving just over $500,000, about $540,000, which is awesome. That's fantastic. And then this last one here, this is the Wealth 3R. This isn't a bond that we have or a debt that we have yet. This is something that's coming down the pike here pretty soon. I'm not sure of the timing. So for that reason, I put future, and this is estimated on here. We're work on Wealth 3. We have a new hole that we've put in the ground, and that project is getting pretty close to being done. As soon as it's done, we're approved to draw up to $1.72 million against that project at a low interest rate, and it's a four-year bond, and the payments would be about $38,000. We don't know exactly what those will be because we don't know exactly what we're going to draw down. We'll draw down as little as possible. The whole idea behind pulling this bond here and having it out for 40 years is just a cash flow item. We could pay this out today completely, but then we would struggle being able to pay for the new water tower and the Well 10 that we want to be able to finance. So by financing Well 3, this update here, with this loan, it makes it possible for us to do those other projects. That's the debt that we have with outside agencies. I have one item down here at the bottom I wanted to mention. This is an interfund loan from the sewer fund to the street fund. This is something that we did it was 2017, so 2 years ago, a $300,000 loan from the sewer to the street fund, and we're gonna pay back $100,000 a year for 3 years. In 2018, we were able to make a double payment, and so 2019 is gonna be the last year of that loan, this year, and then that's gonna be done. When we do an interfund loan, those are, they're kind of funny things. We think that it's all city money, but when we're initiating a loan from one enterprise fund, the sewer fund, to the street fund, one fund can't just borrow money, but it has to be set up just like I'm going to the bank to get a loan. So there has to be the repayment terms, the rate, the timing, all those kinds of things, and a contract in place. But with this item here, we'll be done a year early. We'll be done this year. So overall, our debt position is quite good. The mayor and I just wanted to give you a brief overview, a snapshot of the debt held by the city. It's a great quick reference. You can see where we've come from and where we've gone, and we're doing quite well. If you have any questions, I can field some of those. Council?
No. It's a really good job, Spencer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So now, let's move to item 4.5. Excuse me, item 4.4. Our community development director, Ann Henning, has been working closely with Greg Fultz of the school district. School district has I mean, they're moving forward with plans to meet the demand of increased class size, or I mean, increased students into the school district, and they have been working closely together with the Building and Planning Department to plan for some of those changes, and that's what Ann is going to talk to us about tonight. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. So the school district is proposing to put one portable classroom each at three of their schools, and none of those schools is currently platted. So by municipal code, we can't issue a permit unless the council grants approval. So by the code, the things you need to look at in granting that are adequate water and sewer, lot size, streets, sidewalks, curb improvements. So we looked at the three sites. Let's start with Juajitas. They are currently in the process of platting Juajitas. So if that were already finished, there wouldn't be the issue. It's not finished, but the improvements are being addressed through the platting process. So there is adequate water and sewer for that site, already been determined through the platting process. Council's already granted deferral of improvements in Cemetery Road. Covenant will be required. Lot size is quite large, of course, for all the schools. And then, so then the last thing is the street improvements. And those, again, have been already addressed through the platting process that you heard not too long ago. Covenant will be required. Bond will be required. So that one is pretty simple. So next, let's look at Ludicaga. Already have adequate water and sewer in that area, large lot size. The only street improvements needed are some ADA ramps on 7th Avenue. So staff would recommend that those be required at this time. So then a third school is Hiawatha. Again, it's adequate water and sewer, large lot size. There are no street or no sidewalks on 9th Avenue. Obviously, it's been functioning without sidewalks for some time. So the recommendation is that there should be a covenant required for that in the future when either development or the council decides that it's just time for that sidewalk. The other issue at Hiawatha is there is irrigation to the site, but my understanding from Public Works is that the city would need to install a pump before that can be used. So that's included as an additional condition that when that pump's installed, that the site be converted to irrigation water for the, you know, for the outside areas. So that's kind of a quick summary. I did a resolution, proposed resolution for all three of the sites with the conditions as laid out here. Are there any questions?
Council? If they get platted, will they be able to make changes, you know, those portable units, they can bring them in and out as needed?
They would still need placement permits, but once it's platted, they won't be coming before you asking for permission for that permit.
Makes it much easier.
Yes.
The city attorney's reviewed these resolutions and recommends their approval. Ann recommends their approval so that the school district can move forward with their plans. Ann, I just want to thank you for a wonderful job on this, and with Greg for your cooperation. There's been a lot of cleanup items have been being done lately, and I really appreciate it. So with that, let's start with the first resolution. Authorizing building on platted property at Ludicaga Elementary.
You don't have to do each one of them individually. That she's got a motion formed for all of them with the conditions listed above. She's already made the motion, formed the motion for the resolution with the changes for each individual.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion then to approve all three of these at once.
With the conditions as listed.
I'll make the motion to approve the resolutions allowing permits to be issued for the portable classrooms with conditions as listed in each resolution.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
Item 4.5 is the approval of the Geotechnical Engineering and Material Testing Services Contract, and tonight we have Sean O'Brien, the city's engineer, to give the council a report on that contract. Sean?
So, Mayor, Council, what's before you is we put out a request for qualifications from consultants for geotechnical services and material testing. Main thing is driving this is Reservoir 4 will require a geotechnical report, and so we put this request out for the full year's worth of if anything else pops up, but also material testing, just so that we had someone on contract for that. So this contract doesn't include any specific work. Each job will be brought in as an amendment, which is the next agenda item. So if we get through this one, we'll have one more agenda item. So basically, staff just recommends that council approves this contract with Shannon and Wilson Incorporated out of Pasco.
Questions, council? We need a contract to do business with them, so I'd entertain a motion to approve this contract as recommended by the city's engineer.
I'll make that motion. Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And then, Sean, you have an approval for an amendment to the contract.
Now that we have an agreement, or we'll shortly have one once the mayor signs the contract, we have an amendment to that contract to with Shannon Wilson Incorporated to do a geotechnical report for the proposed reservoir. With this contract, they presented a base amount, but then also there, due to some potential soils that we may entertain there, it may take some additional testing and additional sampling and reports to analyze the clays and what kind of long-term settlement we may encounter. So the base contract is $34,000, and then the additional work is $8,000, and staff's request is to approve the contract for the full amount, but then we won't know until they complete the base portion of the work if we have to go forward with the additional testing.
This will be paid for with the capital funding we received?
The USDA Rural Development loan is for $2.7 million, and then there is also some CBDG grant that will cover some additional costs there.
Yes, sir, your question is yes, John.
Okay.
So I need a motion to approve this agreement and resolution, or excuse me, sorry, this contract amendment.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Sean. And now we have CBHA run for cause agreement and resolution, and we have our community park and recs coordinator, Amy Hurlbutt, to run that by the council tonight.
All right, so tonight is the contract and resolution for the second annual CBHA Run for a Cure. Last year, they had their first event in September. This event will be held again in September. CBHA staff is anxious to have this contract taken care of so it's checked off of their list so they can continue their planning efforts. The event will be very similar to the way it was ran last year. There's one small change, which has very little, if any, effect on the city at all, and that's where the run will end, and it was due to a bit of congestion on their end, so they just moved the runners one parking lot down, and that's the only change to the route. Last year, the route was originally presented to city staff, and then we took it to Public Works and the police chief to have them review it for safety reasons and to try to eliminate as many road closures as possible. and to make sure that any roads that were closed were open as quickly as possible once the run was done. The event was run with very little incident, if any, on my end last year, and I think that the very next day it was as if it never happened. So all of the promises of cleaning up all of the beautiful colored chalk in all of the locations was completed. Was very well attended last year, and I think it's expected to be attended, if not as well, better this year. Last year, the original conversation was 150 people, and the chief and I kind of laughed and said, goodness, this is going to be way better than that. And I think that they were really pleased and surprised as well. So the facilities agreement and contract just lays out the right-of-way access that we would be permitting the run to use, as well as a couple of parks, Pioneer Park and Kiwanis Park to be exact, for one of the stops along the way to be colored at the individual stops.
Questions, Council? That was a great event. I was there last year. That I entertain a motion to approve this resolution and facility use agreement.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Go ahead.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carry. And Amy, we have next the approval of the 4th of July facility use agreement for our annual 4th of July celebration.
Yes, sir, that's correct. So this again is a repeat event. This event's been going on for many years. This last 2018, we passed some new park fees in a resolution through 2022 that added some additional costs for on-site staff, additional garbage cans, which helps pay for the disposal fees as well, porta potty rentals if and where in specific areas we don't have adequate restroom access or the participation is going to be at a higher level than the bathrooms we have provide capacity for. 4th of July is definitely one of those events that is gangbusters in the sense where about 5,000 people will be in the park in and out throughout the day. So it does require all of those things, picnic tables, bathrooms, staff on site, additional garbage cans. And because this has historically been a joint venture between the Chamber of Commerce and the City of Othello, it was decided last year to waive the additional park fees and only charge the park special event fee, which this year is $416 for an event that's over 500 attendees. So that would be the same request this year, would be to continue to support the 4th of July event by the Chamber of Commerce. Only requiring them to pay the special event fee and waiving the staff time and additional amenities fees because of the nature of the event being a joint venture for so long. Otherwise, the event would be planned as usual. The Chamber of Commerce is working very diligently to get all of their ducks in a row on their end. They're working with staff to make sure that all of their vendors are permitted and will be entering the park safely. They have lots of entertainment lined up. All of the wheels are sort of turning on their end and they're doing a great job. So this is just the last step in the city side is approving the contract and resolution with the exception of the additional amenities fees.
And includes the parade?
Oh yes, the parade is part of the resolution. So once the application's been submitted, then we're good to go on that. That doesn't require any additional motion.
Right. Council, do you have any questions for Amy?
Did anybody get the fire department fireworks permit?
Yes, we're working on it right now. I contacted Western and we've been working on it.
Awesome.
And the sheriff posse?
Yes, Western just needed the certificate signed and the who to call in case of an emergency.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve this resolution and facility use agreement with the chamber.
I'll make the motion.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Amy. Now we're going to move to the agreement between the City of Othello and Adams County Pet Rescue. And Corey, you wanted that for discussion, and we'll call City Police Chief Phil Shank to give the council a rundown of that agreement.
So this agreement basically solidifies the $50,000 that the council approved during the 2019 budget. We've It's been reviewed by our city attorneys. Some of the things that stand out in this that weren't in the previous one is we combined both previous agreements into one agreement. Previously, it was for dog catching, and then there were shelter services separately. So we've combined these into one agreement since they're doing both works. Additionally, the previous agreement, an oversight that we saw was there was no provision in that for them to pick up dead animals. This agreement covers that, and they are responsible for picking up dead animals, which is important. I think council can attest to that. Other things, I mean, it also has provisions for picking up other than the normal cats and dogs, such as, I mean, and we put that under sheltering services for other animals. And yes, we do have other types of animals, not wildlife, or porcupines and things like that. That is not covered by this, but we do work to relocate those. Things like the iguana that we found, you know, running down the middle of Broadway. Horses, we haven't had emus and that kind of stuff yet, but that will happen. So this does cover that kind of stuff. It has a provision in where we have a lot of oversight over who is picked for the as the animal control officer, because we do give that person a limited police commission to enforce Othello Municipal Code animal law. So it's a very narrow focus of what they can do. Probably the most important thing what held us up was we built in some provisions. One of the questions I've had over the years is, are we paying for Othello's animals, or are we paying for subsidizing other people's animals? This agreement actually has some metrics built into it where they're reporting to us where the animals are coming from, whether they're Othello County or outside of the county. That's relevant because we should only be paying our share. Additionally, it looks at, like what type of animal, how long it's being held. We're only liable for that animal for 3 days. But if Pet Rescue is holding it for 3 months, trying to make a mean dog into a nice dog, and that's inflating the cost of Pet Rescue, then that is relevant to us. And that's one of the things that I did discuss with Kaya to try to work out how that would be reported to us. So their concern was, are we building a lot of reporting into this that they can't manage? Looking at what we've put together, Kaya believes they can do it. And they do have a new dog catcher, animal control officer. That has started a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So we're back in business. So any questions, council?
I didn't remember that contract being 50,000. I thought we had agreed to 25, but obviously that's, but what does it cost to train? Because we're paying for their training too.
When we sent the person to the Burien, it's at the police academy. It's a week-long training. Previously, we paid for the motel meals. We also paid for uniform and basic equipment, which is actually very inexpensive for this position. They're actually providing a vehicle. The training itself, I believe, is no cost or relatively no cost.
But does it cost anything to train them?
It's Burien training, so it's at the police academy, and most of the training that we send people to there is free. Oh. So I do not believe that has cost. If it does, I'll find that cost and I'll get it to you.
So actually, Chief, this is a two-part contract. The first part is to act as our dog catchers or animal control, and then the next part is to be with the services provided by the
sheltering service.
The shelter.
I would actually say it's a three-part agreement, because the third part was we rolled in the dog licensing, so that they are actually issuing and keeping track of the dog licensing, as well as keeping the fee, which isn't a lot of money.
Are they keeping citation fees too?
No, we couldn't pass that to them by law. That is actually, we don't get any of that. That actually goes through the courts.
So it's not going to cost us anything other than the hotel and stuff for training than $50,000?
Shouldn't. Uniforms, I mean, we might have a couple hundred bucks into that. We didn't expect that the previous dog catcher wouldn't last but personality and getting the right person is very important.
That was why I was wondering about the training.
Well,
keep going through people, and we're going to have to keep paying for training.
If it's once a year, I think we can manage it. If it's more than that, I'd say that we have an issue that we need to reopen the contract and talk to them about. I'm hoping this one lasts. We've met him. Seems to be a good fit so far.
So if you get a phone call and you get a complaint, do the police have to go out with this individual to the home?
The only time that we do that, Councilman, is if it's a dangerous dog, because I don't want people getting bit. So if I've got an unarmed dog catcher trying to hook a pit bull that is trying to, you know, tear his leg off, we're not going to try too much trying to get a noose around its neck.
So are we tracking the call outs and actually implementing fines?
Every call that comes into the police department for a stray dog or a dangerous dog or any of those kind of things is logged in our record system. Additionally, Pet Rescue would be logging it on their side too. There may be times people call directly to Pet Rescue. We did have a period of time with the previous dog catcher where we weren't, there was a miscommunication on who was keeping records. That's been fixed.
How about nuisance?
The barking dogs. Often those are when the dog catcher is not working. Our officers respond to those. They can write citations for that. Sometimes if they can't get a hold of the person or wake somebody up, then they would get the dog catcher involved to actually go out and write that citation.
Okay.
That's kind of the advantage, like dog catching 201. 101 is just going around picking up the strays. Once we get that person trained to do that much, we move into the training curve of citations and what the laws look like. We're doing that now, actually.
Good.
Okay. Council, any other questions? So we have a contract to approve here.
I'll make a motion to approve the contract with Adams County Pet Rescue.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Chief. Now we'll move to item 5, which is unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight?
I don't know if this would go in unfinished business or new business, but there's been an amendment presented by Varela with regard to the engineering that they had performed for us on Olympia Street. And I think we need a committee meeting, and we need to sit down and talk about what their charges are for that. And I want to know personally what we've received from them. I want all of it in front of me at a committee meeting so I can see what we paid for.
So I had a conversation about that with our city engineer, and he had some questions back to Varela because there were some things on there that we probably didn't need. Maybe Sean, could you maybe address that for the council? Well, I mean, we're not ready to take any action on it. We're just discussing
it. Basically, what I want to know, Sean, is Did we write them a check for the $170,000 that they wanted to do the original and work?
Scope of work.
Did we write them a check for that?
We have not paid that full amount. The original agreement was $168,000 and change for sanitary sewer and storm sewer. In January, Water Sewer Street Committee directed them to proceed with design on replacing the water main. They have done some of that work. We have received preliminary drawings with the sanitary and storm sewer included. I don't believe we've received anything yet that has the water main. They've indicated they've done about $9,400 worth of work so far out of that $32,000 that they requested. I forwarded my response to Varela to the Water Sewer Street Committee members, where I think they had think it was over $7,000 for redoing hydraulic analysis. Said we don't, we never asked for that. We don't want that. So that would reduce the amount. So when I get a response, I'll forward that to the committee, and we can schedule a committee meeting before the June 24th meeting, which is where they're requesting to be on the agenda.
So their engineering, their design and engineering was to provide prints. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, if they are amending this, they already had prints of the sewer and stormwater, you know, drafted up. Did we receive?
We received preliminary drawings on that, and I think they've had us.
We got it all.
They've addressed my comments that I made on the preliminary sewer and sanitary sewer drawings. And they have, I guess they've sent me, I haven't looked at them, but I did forward them on to Angel because he was looking to provide those to his contractor to get numbers to, and for talking to neighboring property owners to figure out.
How much of the 168 have we paid?
Oh.
Okay, all right. Well, that's something I'd like to know.
Last time I asked, we hadn't paid it all. I think there was still at least $30,000 or more on that.
I think it's in the $130,000 to $140,000 range, and they've indicated $9,400 that was for.
Line item on there for construction engineering to help with construction.
I don't know if there was.
$9,500 on the original agreement.
Okay.
So, you know, we go out. And then that's also to do, to help with bid.
Correct. And we'll take, I mean, we won't.
So those are items we don't need to pay.
To help with what again? To bid?
To be there for bid assistance while the bidding is going on. And then second of all, to provide construction assistance. You know, the guy sitting out by the loader bucket with the umbrella over his head.
I won't bring my umbrella.
No, it's a joke. That's what actually happened.
That will not happen anymore.
So, let's get a committee meeting formed and go over this.
Okay, we need some answers from them first. So once we get those, we'll set the committee meeting.
I'd like to know what the recommendations or what would need to transpire to get out of this contract with Varela.
Okay.
I'd like to start looking at that and, you know, get with somebody else. And I don't think we need
to contract with
an engineering company so much as we need, you know, we just need engineering. When we need engineering, we could hire it out.
Yeah. I don't think we need to go with somebody else for this work. I mean, we could tell them to stop, give us what they have. And I mean, if it is done by the developer, there is no bidding out there. I mean, they were directed to provide plans and specs as if the city was going out to bid. And we're not sure if that's the status, and we can take that work over now. They've provided the drafting.
Great.
It's to the point where if we got those drawings, we could do the additional changes and markups to it. So
good.
We'll talk about that with committee.
Yeah, we'll have that discussion in committee. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other unfinished business tonight? Is there any new business to come before the council?
I got one thing. Police Chief, back on the 2nd, last Sunday, there was a wreck right over here on the 2nd block of North 4th Avenue. There's a red Chevy Impala sitting there that was hit, and there's all kinds of jagged parts hanging off of that thing. I mean, a kid could come by there on a bike and just, not to be graphic, rip a hole in themselves if they touch that car. It's the 2nd block down on North 4th Avenue.
North of Main?
North of Main, yes.
You said it's
a red Chevy Impala. And it's messed up bad, and it's been there for a week and a half now, since the 2nd. It was not last Sunday, but the Sunday before.
Right. Plus, the car's been there a long time before that.
Right. It was abandoned there to begin with.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I do have one more thing.
Yeah.
When we do the committee meeting, I'd like to review Varela's engineering costs on the irrigation system that was put forth for Olson's development. I think part of the reason we're at $176,000 on that cost is because of the elaborate engineering design that was presented by Varela.
You're talking about...
Before we went into the agreement, yes, it's a different thing than what I was talking about before.
Right.
Before we went into the agreement with Olson, we had an engineering design that was created by Varela for that system. It was over-engineered, as far as I'm concerned, and what Sean has said in previous conversations, he doesn't understand why there's all these cross ties and valvings and things like that. So I want to review that.
Okay. Make sure we review that.
Because I felt at the time, I think I voiced my opinion that it was way over-engineered for what we needed.
Okay, I'm making notes. Any other new business, Council? All right. We'll move to item 7, and 7.1 is to receive department head reports. Having no further business, I will adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:31 p.m. Sorry, I kept you. Rachel, I did.